Thank you, Pastor. So good to be at God's house. It's good to be home. Amen. I appreciate, and I know most of y'all are here at home every week, but for me, it's a special treat to be with you folks, and I appreciate the opportunity. Turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40 this evening. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. When you find your place, if you would stand with me, please, and rest you from your seat, and if you're physically able. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. I'd like to preach this evening on the subject, mounting up with wings as eagles. And y'all pray with me and for me as we pray. Lord, thank you, God, for the opportunity to preach your word. Father, Lord, I pray that you'd fill us with your spirit. Let everything that's said and done, Lord, bring honor and glory to your name. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. What an opportunity we have to preach your word, Father. Lord, I do thank you for our pastor that allows us to come and do this. We ask it all these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. I was thinking about what Brother Alverson said this morning about the lady, the wife of the evangelist. Everybody knows who my wife is. Amen. Amen. I'm thankful that God used an eagle to describe his people. You know, you think of all the other things that God could have used. He could have used a peacock. You know, a peacock is a proudful bird, isn't it? I've seen some proudful Christians. We certainly shouldn't be that way. Amen. I've seen some people, they could strut sitting down. But God didn't use other. I was thinking about, even the ostrich. The ostrich is known for putting its head in the sand. Us Christians, we shouldn't be that way. We should keep our heads out of the sand. Amen. Know what's going on. And if any day we should know what's going on, it should be today. Amen. This day that we're living in, the days that we're living in. But you know, he didn't use peacocks. He didn't use ostriches. He didn't use parrots. A parrot just repeats everything he hears. I was thinking about this, about the evangelist. I heard one time that he went after the preaching, he went back to the back and shook hands. You know how we do a lot of times. The pastor was there with him. And as everybody was coming through, everybody was commenting, says, "Brother, that's the best message I've ever, that's a great message. I appreciated that message. I enjoyed it." But there was always this lady that would come behind everybody and say something negative, like, "That's the worst message I've ever heard." And she'd always get back in the back of the line again after she'd been through one time. She'd get back in the line again, and she'd come through, she'd say things like, "Boy, that was the boringest message I've ever heard." Just discouraging the evangelist. And he was getting discouraged, and the pastor could recognize that. And he said to the evangelist, says, "Don't worry about that woman, brother. She just repeats everything she's heard." And certainly we shouldn't be like parrots and repeat everything we hear. But God used the eagles. Aren't you glad of that? I was thinking about our country. They tell me when they were trying to decide which kind of bird to represent our country, they thought about a turkey. A turkey is a beautiful bird, but I wouldn't want to be called one. Amen. I love to eat them, but I don't want to be called one. But God and our country, of course, used the eagle. God used the eagle to represent his people, I believe, in this verse, that we can mount up with wings as eagles. Now, I know you've heard Brother Farmer say this verse a lot of times, but I want to use it also in Romans chapter 1, verse 20. The Bible says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. You know what that verse tells me? That I can learn about God through his creation. That's what that verse means. And certainly God has given us this illustration with the eagles. So I want to take eagles, and I know you may have heard, if you've heard much preaching, evangelists are known for eagle messages. Well, you're going to hear my version this evening. But I hope it'll be a blessing to you. I want to just give you some things about the eagles that I believe we can learn from. Amen. I want to mount up with wings as eagles. I want to fly high, so to speak, in my Christian life. Don't you? I'm interested in that. Mount up with wings as eagles. Let me give you just a few things. Well, eagles, they tell me most of the time they're born on a rock. They enjoy, the mother eagles usually build their nest on a rock. I thank God that I was born on a rock. Amen. The Bible says I was brought out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay, and the Lord set my feet on a solid rock. Amen. And established my goings. I thank God I was born on the rock. I'm talking about the rock of ages, the Lord Jesus Christ. I like what Peter said. Jesus asked him, says, whom do you say that I am? Peter responded and says, Thou art the Son of God. Amen. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Boy, he struck out a lot of times, but he knocked it out of the park. Amen. When he said that. Amen. He said, Thou art the Son of God, the living Son of the living God, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus responded, he says, That's true. I'm paraphrasing. He said, That's true, Peter. And upon this, what? Rock, I will build my church. So I believe it's a good illustration of how us Christians, we are born on the rock of ages. Amen. I thank God. Let me tell you something else about the eagles. They say once they're born on that rock, they never stray very far from that rock. Amen. And I don't understand these people that say that they got saved and then they go out in the world and stay there and never come back. That's not the salvation of this Bible, amen. When you may wander a little ways from the rock, but you won't stray very far. You're going to find your way back to the rock, amen. Thank God for that illustration there in with the eagles there. But also the eagles, have you ever noticed it? I know we don't have eagles around here, but we have hawks. Most of all of us have seen hawks. They're sort of in the same family there. But their beaks are crooked like this. You ever notice that? You know, every other bird, the eagles, they are a meat-eating animal, or meat-eating bird. Other birds, of course, eat like seeds and things like that. The eagles, their beak is made in such a way that they're able to pull off meat. Amen. They're designed to do that. Some of you know where I'm going, Brother Teacher. And us Christians, we were born, I know when we were first born again, we drink the milk of the Word of God. But God wants us to get to where we can pull the meat off of ourselves, amen. He wants us to, all of us eagles, amen, are born with a beak like this that we can pull out the Word of God ourselves. I wouldn't, if I were you, ever be accused of saying that I don't get fed when I go to church. You see, because if you're a real eagle, you have the opportunity, you have the ability to feed yourself. Hello? But eagles, they have that crooked beak like that. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2 says, Paul says, I fed you with milk and not with meat because why? You were carnal. The only kind of Christian that can't eat meat is a carnal Christian. Lord, help us to be that grown-up Christian. Amen. Like that grown eagle. But let's talk a little bit about the eagle and how he builds or how she builds the nest. Most of the time they start off with sticks on the bottom, and then they add sometimes leaves. And as it goes up further, they make it harder and harder, or softer and softer, excuse me. a lot of times they'll top the nest off with feathers and make it easy for the little eaglets when they're born. And let me just say this. I like this. I read this somewhere that eaglets or eagles, they usually only lay one egg. That means that they only have one eaglet normally at a time. And that just points out to me how God can treat us just like we were His only child. Amen. Amen. I thank God for that. He loves us. Matter of fact, as the song says, He does love us like we were His only child. And I thank God for that. But anyway, that mother eagle, she'll build that nest. And then there'll come a time, most of you know, after the little eaglet is born, there'll come a time when that mother must start stirring up the nest. I've had my nest stirred before. Amen. And let me just say this evening that God knows how to stir up a nest. Well, the mother eagle, she'll start by pulling off some of those feathers, those things that made it so comfortable for the eaglet, pulling out some of those feathers out of the nest. And then if that don't work, she'll start pulling out some of the leaves. I mean, she'll just make it. And finally, she'll just make it so uncomfortable for that eaglet. A lot of times the eaglet will crawl up on top of the mother eagle. And then she's got the eaglet where she wants him. but that's how she'll stir up the nest. God uses different ways to stir up our nest. God sometimes uses preaching. I hope this message will stir you up this evening. I hope so. But God uses a lot of times preaching to stir us up. I was thinking about the message our pastor preached. I believe it was Wednesday before last. He preached on woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. And I was thinking about that. You know, our pastor was trying to stir us up. And that's what our job is to stir us up. It's not to make you comfortable. If preaching makes you comfortable all the time, we're not doing our job. Amen. But I thank God that our pastor was trying to stir us up by preaching that to us. Amen. And thank God that he uses preaching. Preaching is sort of a warning. And if you don't heed the warning, he has to take further steps in our lives. Amen. I hope every time in my life that God gives, and he does give me the opportunity to straighten my own life out through preaching. It convicts my heart. And let me just say, you better listen to the preacher. Because he's trying to stir your nest. God uses that. But you don't want God having to stir your nest. God uses two other. Well, let me give you this one. I believe God uses provisions in our life to stir our nest. What do you mean by that, Brother Brady? Well, I'm telling you tonight that God has been so good to me. I must serve Him. I've got to serve Him. I mean, His love, how good He's been to me, makes me just want to serve Him more. Amen. His love constrains me to serve Him. And it should constrain us all to serve Him. But there is one other way that God uses to stir our nest. And you know probably what I'm going to say, problems. God can use problems to stir our nest. And God knows exactly what kind of problem in your life that it'll take to get you out of the nest. You follow me tonight? God knows exactly. And I'm going to say, young people tonight, you may say, well, I'm never going to be obedient to my mom and dad. God knows how to make you that way. God knows how to, if you don't mind me say it this way, push your buttons. God knows exactly what to do in your life to get you where He wants you to be. You may be a spouse that I'm not ever going to get along with my spouse. I'm just going to be a thorn in their flesh. Well, I'm going to tell you, God knows how to bring you down. God knows how to bring you to the point where you're falling down on your knees begging God, please have mercy. God knows you. God knows exactly how to get us there. Amen. God knows exactly how to get me where He wants me to be. I heard this illustration just this past week about Maze Jackson. He used to tell the story. about he's an evangelist. Most of you probably have heard of Mays Jackson, the truck driver special. If you don't know him, that's what he's known by, his truck driver special. But he used to tell a story about a church that he went to, and the pastor said, "Brother Mays, I wish you'd go with me to this house and talk to this man. His grandson goes to our church, but I can't ever get him to come to church." And he goes to this man's house, and he walks in the house. The little boy was saved already. But he walks into the house, and the man was very rude to Brother Mays. He said, "Brother Mays," or didn't call him Brother Mays, of course. He said, I've heard that you preached this in the revival. I've heard that you preached that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess." I want to tell you, this is what the man said: "These knees won't ever bow." Boy, that's scary, isn't it? But the story goes on. He told that just a few days later, the little boy got killed. Oh, he was getting off the school bus and he walked right into a car and it killed him. Thank God the little boy was saved. And Brother Mays went to the house and wanted to console the guy and talk to him. And the guy, the granddad was standing there beside the casket. And he looked at Brother Mays. He says, "I told you I don't want you in my house. I want you to get out." And Brother Mays started to head out the door. And as he got almost to the door, the Lord gave him these words to say. He said, "Sir, I got to tell you one more thing. If you ever see that little boy again, you're going to have to bow your knee." Well, that struck the guy. And sure enough, he fell down on his knees right there. He says, "I'm ready to bow. I'm ready to bow." I'm saying tonight that God knows how to stir our nest. God knows how to get you where He wants you. Amen. The best thing for us to do is just to listen to preaching and just stay stirred up for Him. Amen. And just realize that He's been so good to us. We got to serve Him. Amen. Say like Job, He's blessed me. And I so much that I'm still going to serve Him. Amen. Though He slay me, Job said, I'm still going to serve Him. Well, let me give you a few more things about eagles. Amen. There's a period in the eagle's life. Some of you heard this before. But it's called a molting period. A time in the eagle's life where after he's grown eagle, what happens? He gets calcium on his beak. They tell me they get calcium on their buildups, on their wings, and they can't eat for themselves. They can't fly, or they can't find food for themselves. Is what I'm trying to say. But the only thing they do is just sit on the ground. Most eagles die when they get in that situation. But you know the only thing that saves them is those eagles that are flying high above them. What they do, they see that eagle going through that molting period. Let me say this. I've been through a molting period. I'm talking about the discouragement. That's what I'm talking about. I've been discouraged a lot of times. Is anybody like me? Ain't nobody like me. I'm preaching to the wrong crowd, brother. I don't know what it is that makes us discouraged. I mean, sometimes I just wake up discouraged. I don't know if it's a devil. I think he's, Brother Mark, I think he's got little demons running around they're called discouragement. Those little demons called discouragement. But anyway, we get into that situation in our life, we're just discouraged and we can't bring ourselves out of it. A lot of times it's things that happen in our life that get us discouraged. I know that. But I tell you what, a lot of times I've been discouraged and let me back up a little bit. What happens with those eagles? Those eagles, that they'll drop a piece of meat down there where that eagle's going through that problem. Amen. That's a lot of times the only thing that helps them survive that situation. I thank God tonight. There's been a lot of times in my life I've been going through that discouragement. Some preacher will get up in the pulpit and just drop me a piece of meat. Amen. Or not, maybe somebody just to call me and say, Brother Brady, I just want to let you know I'm praying for you. Amen. You know what that's doing? That's dropping a piece of meat down there for us that get discouraged sometimes. You may be thinking of somebody right now that's going through a discouraging time in their life. You know what a lot of times we do as Christians? We're flying high above them. We look down there and say, what's he doing down there? Sorry, rascal. What we ought to be doing is dropping them some meat. Amen. Call them on the phone, being an encouragement to them. A lot of them, and that's a lot of times, that's the only way they're going to survive is for us to help them, be an encouragement to them. A lot of eagles, they died during that time. And I've seen a lot of Christians die during that discouraging moment, hadn't you? Discouraging time in their life. But I thank God that the help of friends, I've been able to get over. I've been able to get through it. And we can help other people get through those things. But let me go back to my talking about God stirring up our nest. God knows exactly how to get us out of the nest. Amen. But what happened, sometimes that mother, like I said, she'll get that baby eaglet on its back, and what she'll do is she'll head straight up to the sky as high as she can go, and she'll level off there real high, and what she'll do is flip over and let that eaglet just start falling through the air. Can't you imagine what that little eaglet's thinking? Mom's got on something bad. Mom's got on some kind of pill. I don't know what it is. Mom's gone crazy. But he's falling through the air there, and she has to. But let me say this: that little baby eaglet will never fall any faster than that mother eagle can swoop down there and catch him. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? Yeah. Let me say, you'll never fall too fast for God to catch you. Amen. I like that. Amen. But what happens after a while? I got to hurry. It's a lot in this. What happens? This little eaglet, it'll finally realize, hey, only thing I have to do is just stretch out my wings. I believe that's an act of faith. Amen. God has given us faith. We just got to put it in action. And what happens? That wind gets up under them wings, and it's, hey, man, this is not really that hard. If I just let the wind, you catch the wind, help me. Amen. I believe I can do this. Just let that wind get up under my wings. Amen. You know what the picture of the wind is in the Bible, don't you? Hello. It's the Holy Spirit. Amen. You let the Holy Spirit get up under your wings. Most of us spend all day doing like this, trying to make it on our own. But the only thing we have to do if we would do it is allow the Spirit to help us. Amen. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but thou cannot tell. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. I'm trying to quote that verse from John 3 there. But that, definitely we know that the Spirit, the wind is a picture of the Spirit of God in our lives. Amen. But you know what? You never see the eagles. Of course, we see hawks mostly. You never see them resisting that wind. They're always going with the wind. You know what I'm wanting to do in my life? I want to wake up every morning of my life and say, which way is the wind blowing? Amen. I want to find out where the Spirit of God is leading me. And you know what they say about the eagles? It's been documented that there's been eagles found way, and they've seen them from the airplanes, flying way above the clouds. And they've seen them flying for hours. They'd be flying for hours up there. And you know what? They don't flop one time. They rely upon that wind. Folks, I'm telling you, we can't make it without the Spirit of God in our lives. You say, that's just for you, Brother Bray. You're a preacher. No, ma'am. No, sir. That's just as much for each and every one of us that are saved. You must have the Spirit of God to lead you in your lives every day. And I wish this evening I could say, you just come down here this evening, you can get the filling of the Holy Spirit, and that's it. No, that's not the way it works. You got to have the Spirit of God leading you each and every day. I just don't want to do anything unless He leads me to do it. That's what I'm trying to say. I want His Spirit to lead me every day. And maybe tomorrow there might be somebody that's going through that molten period. I hope I'm sensitive enough that I'll blow over that way and I'll speak to that person. You follow what I'm trying to say? We were down in Florida just a couple months ago. And I was doing the preaching, and they had, it was right before service, and this young boy, I seen him going into the church. And the Lord just led me that way. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying I'm always sensitive to the Spirit, but I just want to be, amen. But something about that boy, the Lord just led me over his way. And I, a young teenage boy, and I started talking to him. I'd seen him the night before. And I said, young man, do you know if you're saved or not? He says, no, I don't know about being saved. And this is what he said. He says, oh, yeah, I've been saved. Me and my daddy were in a car wreck here a while back, and I got saved out of that car wreck. That's what he thought salvation was. My friend, and he was within, as they say, the shadow of the steeple. Folks, we've got to be sensitive to the Spirit. There's people, probably, I know maybe not this church, but within the shadow of the steeple that don't know the Lord, that are just as ignorant of what salvation really is. But they're not going to know about salvation. We're going to assume that that person knows everything about Jesus. But folks, we've got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, that He would lead us each and every day of our lives. Amen. Well, let me close up finally this evening. How the eagle handles adversity. How the eagle handles adversity. There's only one bird that can compete with the eagle. It's called a condor. This condor is basically a buzzard on steroids. He's a big buzzard. Let me say this. I'm glad God didn't use buzzards to illustrate His people. Amen. Although, I've seen people, anytime there's something dead around, they start flying over it. Hello? I mean, you get something going wrong in the church, they, whoo, boy, that looks good. I'm going to swoop down there and peck on that a little while. I'm getting too personal at a pastor. That's what happens, amen. That's the way buzzards do. They, I smell something dead. I smell something nasty. I need to get in on it, amen. That's the way our Christians are sometimes, the way we are. We're bad about that. But folks, we're not buzzards. At least the Lord didn't call us that. He called us eagles. Amen. We might soar like eagles. But anyway, going back to the condor. That condor, he can fly after that eagle, and he's able to destroy, if he could catch him, the eagle. But you know what? The eagle has a special defense. You're going to like this. Amen. Some of you may have heard it, but act like you've never heard it before. Amen. There's a special lens on the eagle's eye. You've probably seen it if you watch TV and watch the eagles when they blink. When they go like that, there's a special lens that goes over their eye. And what that lens is made for is so anytime they're threatened by anything, they can fly directly into the sun. Amen. Don't get ahead of me now. But they can fly directly into the sun. And the condor does not have that ability. But I thank God. Amen. When He saved me, folks, He gave me something that in my heart. Now, you can't see it, but there's something extra. And then you have it also if you're saved tonight. Something about you that makes you be able to fly directly to the S-O-N. Amen. Anytime we get in trouble, anytime we get afraid, I can fly directly into the sun. Amen. The S-O-N. And find shelter. Amen. There's shelter in the time of trouble. There's shelter in the time of the storm. Though the storm be raging, amen, there is shelter in the time of the storm. And I thank God we have a rock that we can go to. The rock's Jesus Christ. Amen. And we can find encouragement. We can find safety there with the Son. Now, I know in these days that we're living in, I believe the condor is a good illustration of the devil. How the devil can get after us. And I'll tell you, folks, as they've said this morning, I believe we are on the verge of the Lord coming back. And the devil, so to speak, is going to take over what God is going to let him take over. Amen. He's going to take over this world, basically, for 7 years. But God, listen, God has given us, amen, amen. God has given us an ability. What's that ability? The Spirit of God lives within us. What are you trying to say, Brother Brady? What I'm trying to say this evening, some glad morning, when this life is over, I'll fly away to a home where joy shall never end. I'll fly away. I thank God one of these days we're going to fly straight to Jesus. When we see Him in the clouds, amen. There's something about us Christians. Only us Christians have that ability. When we see Him, we're going to fly direct. The Bible, you know, the Bible says we're going to meet Him in the clouds. He's not going to come all the way to the earth in the rapture. I'm saying on that great getting up morning when He comes. Amen. That great getting up morning when the Lord comes, we're going to fly directly to the Son. The S-O-N. Amen. I thank God that we can learn from the eagles. And I thank God we can fly high with wings as eagles. Amen. I thank God for that. Let's stand with our heads bowed this evening. Lord, I do thank You, God, for the opportunity to preach Your word. Father, Lord, I thank You for these folks that have listened so intently. Lord, I pray that You'd use these words, Lord, to be a blessing to Your people, Lord. And we thank You, God, for helping us. In Jesus' name, with every head bowed and every eye closed, let me ask you, somebody tonight, you say, Brother Brady, some preaching that you've done or maybe Pastor Stewart has done has made me realize I need to get out of the nest. There's something God's wanting me to do. There's something God's wanting me to change in my life, but I hadn't been willing to do it, but I'm going to do it tonight because I don't want the other alternative. But I want to say, if you don't heed to the preaching, God will turn to the other alternative. He'll bring those problems in your life. God forbid that somebody would lose a loved one. But I tell you what, God's going to do what it takes to get you where you need to be. And let me say, He's not doing it just to be mean to you. It's where you need to be. You know where you need to be. Is anybody like that tonight? Say, pray for me, Brother Brady, that I would be submissive to the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody raise their hand? You say, I've been struggling with something, but I want to be sensitive to the God leading me. I thank you for raising your hand. Thank you so much. Thank you. I'm going to pray for these that raised their hand. I'm going to turn the service back over to the pastor. Lord, I thank you, God, for what you've helped us with this evening. Father, there's some that's raised their hands, said that they need to make a move in their life. Father, Lord, I pray that they would take heed to the preaching. Lord, that they wouldn't wait till the problems come in their life, that they would do something tonight about it. Lord, we ask you to please help them to make that decision tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.